Welcome to Through the Bible. Today our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, has a great message for us. We'll hear about the Day of Atonement, which is one of the greatest pictures of Christ that we have. I'm Steve Schwetz, your host, and thanks for joining us today as the Bible bus rolls along in our five-year study of God's Word. Now, as you find your seat and get settled, we have just a few minutes to enjoy some recent letters from our fellow passengers on the Bible bus. The first one comes from David in Camarillo, California. My mother and I began listening to Dr. McGee together shortly after I became a believer in Christ in the early 1970s. Through the years, we would have many meaningful discussions on what we were learning from the Word of God and Dr. McGee's teaching. In 1990, I gave my mother Dr. McGee's five-volume commentary set for Christmas, and she said it was one of the best gifts she ever received. I have many fond memories of seeing her seated at the kitchen table listening to Dr. McGee while reading along in the commentary and referring back to her big blue Through the Bible Bible. 21 years ago, she got off the Bible bus at her final destination and walked with her Lord to the place that He had prepared for her. I inherited her blue Bible and commentary set and continued the family tradition. Since that time, I completed seminary by the grace of God, and I have served in several churches as a pastor. After 44 years, I still take frequent trips on the Bible bus for spiritual refreshment and renewal with Dr. McGee's expositions of the Word of God. Thank you for your ministry and your commitment to faithfully proclaiming all the counsel of God. Well, David, what a wonderful letter. Thanks for sharing it with us. And then here's some good news. This is from a listener of our Kabyle language broadcast. I just came back from Casablanca in Morocco. My wife and I spent 6 months there with our brothers and sisters in Christ. I have great news to tell you. In Morocco, those who convert to Christianity among the Berbers are countless. Added to our Kabyle numbers, we are innumerable. Yet there are many who fear persecution. It is our duty to pray for deliverance from fear. More good news is the great fruit from your programs. I visited many Kabyle families living in Morocco. As people listen, the Holy Spirit works in their lives. Your programs on the internet brought much success. Please keep broadcasting and please keep praying for the safety of these believers. Well, what a great request. If you'd like to join in praying for believers all over the world, we'd love to have you join our world prayer team. To find out more about what this committed group of prayer warriors is praying about, or to join us, visit ttb.org/pray. Now let's commit this time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we ask your Spirit to guide us as we study your Word today. As we open our Bibles, please open our hearts so that we may see Jesus more clearly than ever before. In his magnificent name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today, friends, we come back here to the 16th chapter of the book of Leviticus at verse 5. And if you have your Bible, I'd like to put in, we're talking about the great Day of Atonement, and here's one of the greatest pictures that we have of Christ, I believe, in the Old Testament. And there's so much here that we'd like to go into detail, and we'll go into as much as we possibly can. And we saw last time that the great high priest acted alone on the great Day of Atonement. All the other priests withdrew. And then we noted that he not only acted alone, but he took off his garments of glory and beauty and dressed like any other priest on that day. And we find out what the high priest did then and who he was is a picture of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. And our great high priest, we are told that he was God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath brought him out in the open, where man can see him, so that our Lord laid aside not his deity, but his glory, and came down to this earth and became a man. And that's what Philippians 2 tells us, that though he existed in the form of God, that he came down and he made himself of no reputation. That's the story. And the Lord Jesus came from heaven's glory to this earth. And that is mirrored in this year. Now, when we come to verse 5, we read, and he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel, two kids of the goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. Now, may I say that that finds no parallel or any correspondence in the Lord Jesus Christ. He actually had to make no offering for himself. When he was born, you remember, 8 days circumcised, then 33 days later, or 40 days after he was born, while he was taken into the temple. And an offering of turtle doves were made. But you recall that offering was made for his mother to remind her she's a sinner, you see. Now, what we have here is the fact that he never made an offering for himself, as far as the record is concerned. And when we say that Aaron only entered, or the high priest only entered into the Holy of Holies once a year and only one time, that is not quite accurate. Actually, on the Great Day of Atonement, he went in twice. He went in first for himself, and then he went in for the rest of the nation Israel. Now we are told here, beginning at verse 7, we have the preparation of the place. And you'll notice here, after he's prepared, the great high priest, and our Lord left heaven's glory, came down to this earth, became a man, grew to 33 years of age, and then he offered himself upon the cross for the sins of the world. Now we have here the place. And let me read this. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now I'm going to continue to read here because this is very important and there's a great spiritual truth here. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord, the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for him. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, bring it within the veil, and he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat, that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock, sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger 7 times. Now, first of all, let's understand as much as we can about the scapegoat, because two goats are presented, and we need to recognize that one goat was offered as a sin offering. Now, the other goat was taken into the wilderness. We'll come to that the goat was sent away into the wilderness seems to be the best interpretation and most satisfactory. That is, this would mean that the word applies primarily to the goat and the destination of the goat. This, by the way, is the view of the Septuagint, and it's the view of Martin Luther, and of, I think, the two best expositors of Leviticus, Dr. Kellogg and Dr. Andrew Bonar. And it means an entire and utter removal. Edersheim gives it the meaning, wholly to put aside, or wholly to go away. It's definitely part of the sin offering, but we're going to see that just a little later. But let me mention certain views here. I think that will be interesting in helping us to understand this. It says another view is that it is the name of the place to which the goat was sent. Well, that seems inconsistent with the purpose of the offering. And then some refer the word to a demon in the wilderness or to Satan. And that just doesn't meet the demands of the Day of Atonement, and it sounds like a heathen interpretation. Some state that it means the Jewish people in their state of apostasy, and that's far-fetched. Others feel that it represents the resurrection of Christ, and this creates a problem, though it seems to be most natural. But both goats are a sin offering, and they set forth the different aspects of the death of Christ in relation to sin. Now, when we get to this goat that's taken in the wilderness, a scapegoat, I want us to look at what really took place on that day, and I think that it'll be helpful. But the thing now that interests us is the fact that after Aaron had gone in and made an offering for himself, then he took one of the goats, he slew that goat, and he took the blood in a basin, and he got a censer, filled it with incense. Then he went inside the Holy of Holies. Now, you'll recall the brazen altar was out there in the outer court. And I am confident on the way in, he went by and washed his hands and his feet. He went into the holy place, and he got the coals from off the altar there, which is the golden altar, altar prayer, and the censer. And he goes in to the Holy of Holies. The ark and the mercy seat were up against the veil, and he came around and then faced east, you see. And he would take that blood and he would sprinkle it seven times. Now, if he did anything wrong, there was a chain on his foot, and he'd have been pulled out of there dead. As far as the record is concerned, the only two that ever died in there were Nadab and Abihu. And now he's going to make sure he does everything right. He's going to sprinkle that blood seven times. And if he doesn't know how to count to seven before he gets in there, he's going to learn. And when he goes in, he'll know how. And he doesn't count six times, and he doesn't count eight times. And he does everything just like the instructions were given to him. He's gone in now to represent not himself, but he's gone in to represent the people. Now, I want to read this about the goats, because I think this is important. Let me begin reading at verse 15. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that's for the people, bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and that bullock's blood was for him, you know. And he sprinkle it upon the mercy seat, before the mercy seat, and he shall make an atonement for the holy place, because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions in all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out and have made an atonement for himself, for his household, for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that's before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock, the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about, and he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger seven times, cleanse it and hallow it for the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Now, this is a tremendous thing, and great truth is here. You see that when he killed that goat, took that blood in, he's gone in not only for himself and his family, but he's gone in for the children of Israel because of their transgressions and because of their uncleanness. And he even comes out and anoints that altar with blood because the very place where the sacrifices are made have become polluted because of the sins of the people. And it reminds us that it's not the cross that's the important thing. It's the one who died on the cross. After all, there could have been 300 crosses erected there that day of men that were crucified. But it's the value of the one who died upon that cross for the sins of the world, and to remind us that we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from our vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of as a lamb without spot and blemish. And the Lord Jesus, I believe, took his own blood into heaven. And I take that quite literally, that the blood of Christ will be there. My book on the tabernacle, which we mentioned some time ago, I have taken the position in that that it's offered literally. The only criticism I ever read of the book was made by a certain denominational publication, and the reviewer was kind enough to urge all the ministers to get the book, and he called attention to what he believed was the value of it. But then he also said, be aware of the literalness of this writer, because he believes that the literal blood of Christ was offered there, and he says that's a rather crude interpretation. Well, I want to say this. Simon Peter called the blood of Christ precious, and he didn't call it crude. I believe that the blood will be there to remind us throughout the endless ages of eternity, friends, that a tremendous price was paid for our salvation. Now, the value of the one who died on the cross, shed his blood, and he presented that blood for your sins and for my sins. We have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Now, we come to this other little animal. When he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place, the tabernacle, and so on, Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send them away by the hand of a fit man unto the wilderness, and the goat shall bear upon him all the iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. Now, on this day, the great high priest functioned alone. Aaron had sprinkled the blood of the Lord's goat on the mercy seat. Now he places his bloody hands on the head of the live goat and confesses the sins of Israel. It must have been a sordid list of sins, but down the list he went. And the laying on of the hands denotes the fact that this goat is now identified as the sins of Israel. And it's of Christ it said, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, and he was made sin for us. And old Ambrose said, the thief knew that those wounds in the body of Christ were not the wounds of Christ, but of the thief. Aaron put that goat into the hands of a man who had no personal interest in it, and Israelites were stationed at intervals to see that the job was done, and the live goat finally disappeared into the wilderness, never to be seen or found again, and the news that the goat was gone was relayed from station to station so that it was known a few minutes later in the temple. And just as the news was passed from station to station, so the good news that Christ has taken away our sins has been passed from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to Paul the Apostle, the early church fathers, and finally to your day and to my day and to me and to you. Christ has put away our sins in a perfect and complete manner, and the scapegoat illustrates that, and there are several scriptures that confirm it. Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And then Isaiah 38:17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. And then Isaiah 44:22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. And then Jeremiah 50:20, in those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. Then again Jeremiah 31:34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now, what does the great day of atonement mean to the Christian? It's a holy day for us today, when the high priest is there with his bloody hands on the head of the goat. I think of my Lord on the cross. John pointed to him, "Behold, a Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, just keeps on cleansing us from all sin. Dean Law put it like this: faith transfers our sins, Christ removes them, God forgets them. What a wonderful picture you have here. Now, very briefly, I want to conclude this chapter, but there are other things that are here. Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation, put off the linen clothes which he put on, and he goes into the holy place and shall leave them there, and he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place and put on his garments and come forward. And the ritual of the great day of atonement's been completed. And without meaning to be irreverent, let me say that all that was left for Aaron to do was to wash up. And this finds no counterpart in Christ. When his work was finished, he sat down at the right hand of God. Aaron did not dare enter into the holy place for another year. And our Lord sat down there. And our Savior has no taint of sin upon him now, though he bore all sin upon the tree. This protects, you see, the person of Christ from any implication with sin, though he was made sin for us. Now, will you notice? And he that let go the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes, bathe his flesh, and he'll come back into the camp. I want to tell you, God was impressing on these people, friends, that they were sinners, that they were lost sinners. And all through this book, and I hope now you've noted it, that God is holy, and that you and I are sinners, and our sins have separated us from God, and the only way is for what Christ did for us. He is the one who died for our sins, and he entered into the holy place, offered his blood, but God has removed our sins. They're removed, and that's set forth in this. And that one comes back, he washes himself, and then we have a ceremony that took place, the Day of Atonement, the only day of mourning and fasting which God ever gave to his people. On this day, you don't say Happy Yom Kippur or Merry Yom Kippur, because that's not the way the day is celebrated. It was the day to afflict the soul because of sin. It was mourning for sin. And this is the basis of fasting in the Old Testament. What a tremendous picture we have here in the great Day of Atonement. Man of Sorrows, what a name, for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim, hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, seal my pardon with his blood, hallelujah. What a Savior! Guilty, vile, and helpless, wee, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah! What a Savior! Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah! What a Savior!
What a Savior indeed. To find out more about Jesus, our incredible Savior, visit ttb.org and click on the banner that says, How Can I Know God? There you'll find some of Dr. McGee's most popular and poignant resources to listen to and download for free. Or if you'd prefer we send out a couple of these resources by mail, please call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. And when you call us, please take a moment to tell us how and where you hear this broadcast. The call letters of the radio station, maybe one of our apps, online, YouTube, however you listen to Through the Bible, we want to know. So thanks in advance for your help. It was such a powerful message today. Don't forget it's available to listen to again anytime on our website for free. Just visit ttb.org. What does the Bible say about us partnering with unbelievers in the areas of religion, politics, marriage, or business? Hop aboard the Bible bus tomorrow as Dr. McGee takes us to Leviticus 17 to find out. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving a seat just for you. We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.